Good evening, everybody. Yaku did partly introduce me. My name is Yanni Akavalos, and that beautiful woman you saw promoting Bible school earlier, that is my wife. Her name is Kat, and she is holding the fort today in Shofar Franschhoek. I'm here, and she's preaching there. So it's really, I just want to say what a privilege and what an honor it is to be here today. I had the pleasure of ministering here this morning, and I'm really excited to be here again this evening. And this morning, I shared a few things which I'd like to just share again, but they've kind of grown a little bit since this morning. I really feel that there are some full circles that have been completed here at Somerset West. And I know some of you have been here for a while and some of you haven't been here for so long. The services actually started right in this hall. And then they moved across to the sports center and now they've moved back here. And I'm actually a product of Shofar Somerset West. And I really have to honor Theo, who's not here, your pastor. Theo spoke a lot into my life. I joined a small group. My wife and I joined the small group. Desiree was there. There were a few other faces at this morning service. And I really want to, as I say, just really honor Theo for how he spoke into my life, how he encouraged me, how he cajoled me sometimes to step up to all the things that are happening in church. We have got incredible programs running in Shofar. And I know some of you have joined up to Bible school. For those of you who haven't, go and at least attend the few free sessions. We've got the Encounter series starting up. Do yourself a favor. Even though you've done the foundations, go and have a look at the new format. We were there on Saturday and I was actually blown away. God is really moving in our church and I see it here. We can see how blessed this church is. I mean, there were 70 children at kids' church this morning. There must have been about 180 people here. Mother's room was packed. God is blessing this house because I believe the truth is preached here and the life of Christ is here. And I really want to just honor you guys as a congregation because Somerset West is really one of the stars in Shofar. And I'm not just saying that because I'm standing here before you today. But every time there needs a mobilization of volunteers or facilitators or sometimes even money, you know, this church is always the first to step up. And everywhere I look, there's just these really incredible leaders. So I thank you guys. I thank you for your hearts, your serving hearts. And even at the conference, I remember the conference, you guys had that enormous task of running logistics, and what a fantastic job you did. I mean, I don't know if enough people told you, but that conference would have not been the same without this church. So thank you for your servant hearts, and we just continue to trust that the Lord grows each one of us. The other circle that came round is I came through the ranks of leadership here in this church, and this is the kind of church and we serve in the kind of kingdom that if you put up your hand to show willingness, God is going to use you. If you don't put up your hand, God's not going to use you. And every one of us has a tiny little part to play in everyone's journey with the walk of the Lord. And why I say that is after the service this morning, there's a neurologist in your church. I can't remember his name, Dr. Somebody, but he's in your church. And he came up to me and he said, I recognize that surname, Akavalos. So I said, yes, it's quite an unusual name. It's Greek. So he goes, no, I think it was your mother. She came to see me about 5 years ago and I did some tests on her neck. And I said, yes, that's my mother. And he said, I remember that you were just coming back from the U.S. and you guys were looking for a church. And I had said to your mother, why don't they go and try Shofar Church? And it was because of that conversation, that brief one-sentence conversation, that Kat and I decided to go and test Shofar Church. And here I am as a pastor today. So do not underestimate the opportunities that you have on a daily basis, no matter how small or how big they may be, to share what God is doing in your life, what God is doing in this church. So I'm grateful for his obedience there, which has been blessed for me. It's been really blessed. I've been a pastor now for 3 years. And the best part about it being a pastor is the fact that I get to see the hand of God move every single day. I know what people are standing in faith for in our congregation. I know what people are praying for. I know that there's people trusting for healing, trusting for relationships to be restored. And it's just such a beautiful thing to watch God work. And that's the greatest privilege. But the greatest disadvantage, which I didn't really realize until I got into ministry, sure, I got told about it, and people warned me about it. And I know that each person in this room comes under a similar type of thing, and that is spiritual attack. It's very real. It's very real, my brothers and sisters. The name of Jesus is above every other name. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord and Savior. And it is that name that protects us. But it's a battle out there. Not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities. And I look at this church, which is bigger than our church, so there's more responsibility, more spiritual pressure. And it often makes me think about our leadership in Stellenbosch and the pressures that they must come under. So, I just want to ask you, you don't have to put up your hand, just in your heart, when was the last time you prayed for the leadership in our church? In fact, maybe we can do that right now. If you can just, maybe just join in twos or threes or fours, whatever it makes it easy in your own. And I'd like us just to bring the leadership of this church and our church just before the Lord. Just a couple of minutes. Yes, Holy Father, we just thank you so much, Lord, for what you're doing in this church, Lord. We want to lift up your name, Father. We want to exalt it. We want to glorify who you are. We want to declare, Father God, that you are the one building your church. And we submit everything to you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for a supernatural unity amongst all the leadership in our church. Lord, I pray the blood of Christ over every mind, over every body, over every relationship. And I just thank you, Lord, that you are in control. We can trust you because you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that our apostolic team, Lord, is given great discernment and wisdom, Lord, wisdom from heaven. Allow them to guide us through the future, Lord, but trusting in you alone, because you are the only one who can see into the future, Lord. You're the only one who sees tomorrow, next week, and next year. So we trust you, Holy Spirit. We trust that you speak to each one of our leaders, Lord. You speak to the leadership of this church, Lord, and the leadership in Franschhoek, myself included, Lord. I pray for our ears to be open, Lord, but also for obedience, Father, to what you call us to do. Not to shy away from our duties or responsibilities, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we do not need to worry, though, because you are ultimately in control. You have overcome. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for the beautiful ability just to gather here together this evening, Lord, to receive your word. And I pray for every single heart here to be open this evening, Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to really minister. I know that people have come into this service from different places and different responsibilities. And I just thank you for an ability just to focus on what you want to do today, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are the minister and we give you free rein. We submit everything. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth will be pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have you ever thought about this? Out of all the things the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them, what did they ask for? What did they ask for? Peter never went up to Jesus and said, "Hey, Rabbi, teach me how to walk on the water, that trick on the water. Won't you teach me that?" James and John never went up to Jesus and said, "We've got a loaf in one hand and a fish in the other hand. We've got a big family dinner coming up tomorrow night. Won't you teach us that gig you did out on the hill the other day with the 5,000 people?" No. The disciples witnessed amazing miracles, but they never asked Jesus to teach them how to turn water into wine. They never asked to be taught how to calm a storm, heal the sick, raise the dead. But we have in Scripture, and the Scriptures actually flight it up there, the Bible records the disciples coming up to Jesus and saying, "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus says, "I can help you there." But before we go into detail of what Jesus, how he helped them, I'd just like to share some U.S. prayer statistics. I'm afraid they're U.S. because the United States love their statistics, but here they are anyway. 84% of all people surveyed claim to have prayed in the past week. 96% of all born-again Christians pray weekly. 64% of Christians say they pray once a day. 91% of all women pray occasionally. And 85% of men pray at least occasionally. Now, I don't know what you were expecting, but that's a whole lot more praying than I thought would be going down. I really did. I wasn't expecting those figures to be that high. But it begs a question. Just how effective is that prayer? Let me redirect that question and make it a little bit more personal. How effective is your prayer? Do you ever feel that your prayers maybe bounce off the ceiling? That God doesn't hear or doesn't answer your prayers? Or maybe simply that you're just praying to a brick wall. This morning's message is about the basics of prayer. Now, you are very fortunate in this church. You get a lot of very good teaching. I see Pastor Henny over there and Pastor Lucille on the side, both who've taught in this congregation and preached at this congregation. And Lucille always brings you a real prophetic word. And he will bring you something very meaty that you can chew on for the next week or so. This morning I want to bring something very simple. And I'm not targeting your heads. I'm targeting your hearts. I don't want you to go away with head knowledge, but I'm trusting for a spiritual impartation in Jesus' name. Okay. So, we're going to study what Jesus had to say about how you and I can pray in such a way that we can know without a shadow of a doubt that God hears our prayers. Jesus begins by sharing the single greatest truth about prayer. And I put it up on the board there for you. There it is. Prayer is to focus on God and what He wants, not us and what we want. I'll repeat that. The purpose of prayer is to focus on God and what He wants, not us, and what we want. That is why so many of us don't pray like we ought to. And many people have actually given up on prayer. Because we have this idea that prayer is to get what we want. It's not. It's not. It's to get what God wants. Prayer is not about you. It's all about Him. Until we realize this, focus on God and what He wants. Until we realize that, it'll be difficult to understand what Jesus is teaching in the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is such a strange name because the prayer is not for the Lord, it's for His disciples. So maybe it should be called the Disciples' Prayer. But anyway, Jesus models us a prayer that we, to illustrate how prayer should be approached. Keep this in the back of your mind. Keep the purpose of prayer in the back of your mind. So what do we begin to focus on? There's only two things I'm going to share with you this morning. The Lord Jesus tells us a lot in the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to focus on two specific areas. And the first one is, we focus on the Father's worship. Notice how Jesus starts this prayer. He does us a favor, because often in life, and even with prayer, sometimes the hardest step is the first step. How do we get started? So Jesus does us a favor, and he says in Matthew 6:9, he says, "Then, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven." Notice immediately the focus is on God. Now you may think anyone can figure that out, but there's a specific reason why Jesus said this. The next time you pray, I want you to count how many times you use the first person pronoun. Words like I, me, we, and us. In fact, go to the last time you prayed. How many times did you say something like, "Lord, I want you to give me this. I ask you to bless me here. We want you to give us this." So Jesus is basically giving us a grammar lesson. And he's saying that prayer shouldn't be primarily first person. It should be second person. Because remember, it's not about you. It's about him. Prayer should begin with God, not you. What's important is, the more you start to recognize who you're talking to, where he is, and what he wants, the less concern you become with yourself and your needs. The more confident that you are praying to a God that is in control. You have to put God in his perspective. Remember, he's the creator of the universe, the seen and the unseen. Huge. Put God in his perspective, and then it will automatically put your problem in its own perspective. It's going to be small compared to God. So think about it. When we pray, we don't pray to an impersonal force. We're praying to a personal Father who cares about you. If you think about it, really, Jesus is saying there's two people in this prayer. There's a father and there's a child. And I want to be very honest with you here this evening. If you want to pray in a way that you know that God hears you and that your prayer will definitely be effective, you have to come to God as a child. Now you say, "Well, I can do that." Well, maybe you can and maybe you can't. What do I mean by this? If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never dedicated to be a follower of Christ, then you are not one of his children. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. John 1:12 says the following: "But to all who believed in him and accepted him," that's Jesus, "he gave the right to become children of God." That is how you get into the family. You get into the family through faith in Jesus Christ. You cannot pray until you're on praying ground. And you cannot get onto praying ground until you are a child of God, a follower of Christ. So let's go back to the scripture I'm sharing with you today. And let's put it into some historical context. You have to cast your mind back some 2,000 years, Middle East, and the disciples come up to Jesus and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." So imagine then they come around licking their pens, ready to take notes. "I really want to hear this. I want to hear what Jesus has to say about prayer. Come on, gather around. Let's ask him." Then those two first words come out of Jesus' mouth. "Our Father." There was shocked silence. You could hear the grass growing. People were absolutely stunned. Did you hear what he just said? Did you hear what he just said? He wants us to call Yahweh Father. He wants us to call El Shaddai Father. He wants us to call Adonai Father. He wants us to call Jehovah Father. I don't think we heard him correctly. Jesus, can you repeat that? I don't think we heard you correctly. The reason why this stunned the crowd was because until Jesus came, there's no evidence of anyone referring to God as Father. You can go through all the Old Testament. You can look at the great men of the Bible. Abram never called God Father. Joseph never called God Father. Moses never called God Father. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Solomon, David, nobody called God Father until Jesus comes along. And he says, so you want to know how to pray? That's easy. Call him Father. If you're one of his children, you have the right to call him Father. But before Jesus called God Father, no Jew, no Gentile, no pagan had ever used that term. Yet, you go to the four Gospels, and 167 times God is referred to as Father. Study the prayer life of Jesus. 60 times he refers to God as Father. Now I know Henny's back there and he's Dean of Bible School, so he's probably going to go and look at the scriptures in the Old Testament. Yes, there are 16 references to God as Father in the Old reference, but it's never as a personal Father. It's as the Father of Israel, a Father of the nation. So, but most of the times that Jesus uses the word Father, it's the Aramaic word Abba. And do you know what that means? Daddy. It means Papa. You talk about intimacy. You talk about an unbelievably close relationship with the Lord. You can crawl up into his lap anytime. You can go and wrap your arms around his neck any time of the day. You can speak to him whenever you feel like it. He's never too busy. He's never bored. And he delights in you doing it. He delights in speaking to you. That is the kind of relationship that Father God wants with every single one of us in this room. He wants to be a father. He wants to be a papa. He wants to be a daddy to a child. So Jesus was saying, you'll never understand prayer or get into prayer, or prayer will never be a big part of your life until you understand it's like a child talking to his father. And he's not just a personal father, he's a powerful father. Because Jesus goes on to say, our Father, and then he has two words that some people actually think are redundant, but they're not. In heaven. Some of you are thinking, why is he saying in heaven? Surely everybody knows that God is in heaven. But Jesus says, I want you to make this part of your prayer, to remind yourself that every time you talk to God, you're not talking to the big man upstairs. You're talking to the creator of the universe, who knows all things, sees all things, controls all things, and in time, his time, will make every injustice of this earth right. Jesus then adds the next four words. Hallowed be your name. To hallow someone means to honor and give them the respect that they are due. So Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. First you focus on the Father's worship, not your needs, his worship. Our Father, you are in heaven. You are in control. You are in control. We want to make sure that the prayers we pray will honor God, not us. Will glorify his name, not ours. Will bless our Father, not us. So that's number one. That's what Jesus says. He says, number one, we have to focus on the Father's worship. Number two, we have to focus on the Father's will. So what comes next in the Lord's Prayer is perfect. It ought to come next. Think about this. If God is Father, and we are His children. He is in heaven, and we are on earth. We are here to honor Him, and He is not here to honor us. Then we should not only focus on who He is, where He is, but we should focus on what He wants. So here is what Jesus says in verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Notice this part of the prayer has two verbs and two nouns. The two verbs are come and done, and the two nouns are kingdom and will. Now, a kingdom is a place where the king reigns and the king rules. So when you ask God's kingdom to come, please comprehend what you are saying. You're saying, I understand that there is a throne on my heart. I understand that there's somebody who's going to take position on that throne and call the shots in my life. When you say, I want your kingdom to come, you're basically saying, I'm abdicating this throne. I'm getting off the throne. Yanni is getting off this throne, and he's going to ask God to come onto this throne. I want you, Lord, to sit on this throne. I want you to be president of my life, not resident in my life. I want your kingdom to come, and I want your will to be done, both in my heart and in my life. We've all said the Lord's Prayer, and many of us can recite it almost parrot fashion. Many of you are saying, yeah, your kingdom come, let's get on with it. But this is the hardest part of prayer. This is the most difficult part of all prayer. This is the part of prayer that is the point, the purpose, and priority of all prayer. The hardest part. To come to God and say, I'm taking all of my plans, my goals, my desires, and I'm submitting them to you. I'm surrendering everything to you. Because I tell you what, Lord, I want what you want. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it means. I want what you want. Let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. That is tough. It's really not easy. But you cannot go further with God. You cannot go deeper with God. And you cannot go more for the kingdom until you settle that one issue, to surrender. Before you get to your wants and your desires and your agendas, you need to go to God and say, Lord, what do you want? Please don't sit there staring at me all knowingly. This is not easy. And the reason why I say that is because it was not easy for Jesus either. Have you ever thought about this? Study the prayer life of Jesus. And you'll see he struggled with prayer one time. Every time he went to the Father, it flowed, fired on all cylinders. It was awesome, except one time. Where was that? Garden of Gethsemane. That's right. What was he wrestling with? The will of God. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and for the first time, Jesus is struggling with prayer. And he's being honest with the Lord, the Father God, and he's saying, Father, I don't want to do this. I know you don't, my boy. Father, I don't want to go to the cross. I know you don't, my son. Father, I don't want to be separated from you for even 1 minute. I know you don't, my boy. Father, you and I have had perfect fellowship since the beginning of a time and all eternity. I don't want to be separated from you. I do not want to feel what it feels like for those who will be separated from you in hell. I don't want to experience that. I understand that, my son. The Bible tells us that Jesus literally sweats blood. Now, if you go and look in medical textbooks, that happens only when you are under incredible stress. So Jesus was under incredible stress. He's literally sweating blood over whose will is to be done. The Son's or the Father's? The Bible says it took everything for Jesus to finally say, not my will, but yours be done. And I want to tell you this evening, if you want a real challenge in your life, start praying on a daily basis, like you mean it. Your kingdom come, Lord, not mine. Your will be done, Lord, not mine. It was the most difficult part of prayer for Jesus, and it will be the most difficult part of prayer for you. We get into trouble in our lives, and we mess things up when we don't pray that prayer. It doesn't matter how the words come out, but it's the condition of your heart. If you come to God and say, I don't care what you want. I'm going to do what I want. That's when you lose your virginity to your boyfriend. That's when your marriage breaks down. That's when you start cheating on your business partner. That's when you get involved in pornography. That's when you find yourself addicted to drugs and alcohol, shopping, or whatever it may be. How many people are in jail today? How many homes have been shattered today? How many hearts have been broken today? If at a key moment, a person had said, wait a minute, hold the horses. Let's just take stock here. Not my will, but yours be done. The best prayer you can ever pray for anybody in any situation, no matter what the circumstances, even when you don't know what to pray, is, Lord, your will be done. You know why? Because it's always the right thing to pray. It's always the best thing to pray. But it gets better. When you finally get to a point in your heart where you can say, Lord, okay, take everything I am. Take everything I am. Take everything that I own. Take everything that I have. I'm going to surrender it to you. Two things are going to start happening in your life. First of all, you are going to change. Your heart will change. And your prayer life will change. It'll put a new energy and a new vigor and a new connectivity to your prayer that you never had before. I'd like to show you a video, just a short clip, a couple of minutes. My father actually sent it to me, and he's not in the kingdom yet. And it's not really a kingdom clip, but I just want you to get the heart behind it. So can we just flight that clip, please? Change the world. I'm going to ask you to stand this evening. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just focus on the Lord for a moment. Abba Father, Daddy, Papa, you reign from your throne in heaven. We want to come to you in prayer, Lord, in such a way that we know you hear us. Help us to truly understand, Lord, that you want our worship. Help us, Daddy, to change our words so that we can change our focus. We can change our lives and change the world around us. We don't want to come to you with our prayer list, Lord, because you know exactly what is on that prayer list. In fact, Father God, you laid some of those things in our hearts that are on the prayer list, and we didn't even know it. Papa, help us to focus the words of our prayer. We want to focus on who you are, and you are our personal, powerful Father. We want to focus on where you are. You're in heaven, Lord. We want to focus on what you want, which is your will to be done in our lives. Lord, we'll never experience the power and the joy of prayer until we come to you like a child talks to their father. I know that there's people here this evening that the Lord has been speaking to them about very personal things, and you haven't been obedient. your will has come above the Father's will. And we want to pray for you tonight. We want to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to release you. Release you from the agenda of this world. Release you from the things that are holding you back. Father, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit is here and you want to minister to us. And I know that there's other people there who don't understand what a father's heart is like. Because when you grew up, your earthly father was maybe unkind or judgmental or disciplined you without reason. And so because of your relationship with your own father on earth, your relationship with your heavenly father has been distorted. We want to pray for you. I'm going to ask if there's anybody out there who's struggling with the will of God in their life, just to raise their hand. Thank you for that hand. I know that there's people, there's others out here who've been wrestling with things. Lord, we just want to trust you right now. Can I ask you to just come up? We'd really love to pray with you. Don't be shy. And for those of you who struggle with the Father's heart and receiving love from our Father in heaven because you struggled with receiving love from your own Father, I encourage you to come up. I thank you. I thank you for your boldness and obedience to come up and to be ministered to tonight. Your Father in heaven wants to connect with you. He wants to show you how much he cares about you, how much he loves you, how much he delights in you. That he's never bored with you. He's never ever bored with you. You can come to him at any time. Before we minister to the people up front, I just want to ask you to repeat a prayer. Just if you can repeat after me. Lord Jesus, next time I come to that secret place of prayer, I'm not going to talk to you about yesterday because it's gone. I'm not going to talk to you about tomorrow because it's not here. I'm going to talk to you just for today. I'm 100% yours. I'm 100% present. Thank you that I have the ability in any circumstance, at any place, at any time, to speak to you. Knowing that every time I call on my Father, you are not too busy for me. You are not upset that I want to speak to you. You are not bored with our conversation. Because you love me. And you want to talk to me. And you want to spend time with me. Just like any father wants to spend time with the child that he loves. Lord Jesus, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done in my life and in my heart. Amen. Amen.